2 für Union nach 0 zu 2 Rückstand. Ich muss mega kotzen. Man pendelt die Chance, weil er mit dem 5. zum Tor geht.
Moin, es ist ja schon gute 3 Stunden nach 19.10 Uhr. Ihr hört den Millerton-Podcast vor dem Spiel zum Spiel FC St. Pauli gegen den 1. FC Heidenheim. Da ist er nämlich zu Gast, unser lieber FC St. Pauli. Und es ist 3 Stunden nach 19.10 Uhr. Das hat einen ganz speziellen Grund, da komme ich gleich zu. Erst gebe ich euch mal ein paar Infos. Wir spielen am Sonntag, den 27.10. in Heidenheim, 13.30 Uhr in dieser wunderschönen Voith-Arena. Und das ist tatsächlich ein ziemlich enges Nachbarschaftsduell. Heidenheim steht nämlich ganze eine Position vor uns auf dem 7. Tabellenplatz momentan. Wir sind dementsprechend 8er. Wir haben beide 13 Punkte. Wir haben beide 13 Gegentore gefangen und der FC St. Pauli hat 14 Tore geschossen und Heidenheim hat 15 Tore geschossen. Ist also nur aufgrund des einen mehr geschossenen Tores vor uns. Und falls ihr tatsächlich nach Heidenheim fahrt, ich selber kann euch jetzt schon die Info geben, ich fahre nicht nach Heidenheim. Kann ich euch jetzt auch schon sagen, dass für das nach dem Spielgespräch, dass wir Sebastian aus der Monatssendung zu Gast haben, der tut sich das an. Ich war letztes Jahr in Heidenheim und muss da ehrlich zu sagen, dass muss ich nicht jedes Jahr haben, deswegen bin ich ganz froh, dass Sebastian dabei ist. Abfahrt vom Fanladen, falls ihr mit dem Fanladenbus fahrt, um 2.30 Uhr. Achtung, Zeitumstellung, das späte 2.30 Uhr ist gemeint. Also die Uhr wird nach hinten gestellt um eine Stunde. Ich muss nochmal kurz überlegen, ob ich jetzt das Falsche erzählt habe. Nein, es wird nach hinten wieder zurückgestellt. Ihr könnt eine Stunde länger schlafen. Und natürlich Heidenheim, weiß man nie, was da los ist auf der Ostalb. 18 Grad und sonnig ist die Wettervorhersage. Also ich glaube, ihr könnt fast eine kurze Hose auspacken oder einpacken oder anziehen zumindest. And now I switch to English because people who heard the last pre and after the match podcast with Heidenheim, so FC St. Pauli against Heidenheim, may notice that last time we had a guest far away, so we traveling again through, I don't know, how many time zones are between Toronto and Hamburg, Sarah?
Between Toronto and Hamburg, at least 8.
At least 8. So what time is it now in Toronto?
Oh, well, we're 6 hours out, so it's 4 p.m. But if you wanted to fly, it's a good 8-hour flight.
Ah, it's a good 8-hour flight. So I don't want to fly, but I want to talk to you again today. But we will start with the common question here in the Millerton podcast. Who are you and why? And this is especially in your case interesting. Why are you supporting Heidenheim?
Yeah, I totally get that. So my name is Sarah and I live in Toronto, which is in Canada. And I understand FC Heidenheim is really not well supported outside of Heidenheim itself. And Germans themselves don't really root for FC Heidenheim. So I know people are a little perplexed about how someone in Toronto can be an FC Heidenheim fan. For me, I really came to FC Heidenheim through the movie Trainer as well as graduate school. So anyone who saw a trainer saw how FC Heidenheim really brought their passion and their persistence to the field, and I absolutely loved that. But moreover, when I was in graduate school, I spent some time in Baden-Württemberg and totally fell in love with the region. So for me, FC Heidenheim naturally became my team.
Sounds good. So if you are inspired by the spirit in Heidenheim, you're especially talking about the coach of Heidenheim, Frank Schmidt, right?
Of course, Frank Schmidt is a total inspiration.
And he's, I think, in his 14th or 13th year as a coach, as a manager of Heidenheim now.
What, it was 10 years, 2 years ago, so I think he's on year 12 now.
Oh, okay, that's pretty nice. So I think this is the one of the longest streaks as a manager in German football in the first two leagues since, I think it was Volker Finke at SC Freiburg who
had
an even longer streak, or Otto Rehhagel at Werder Bremen. So Werder Bremen is a nice hint because you will meet Werder Bremen next week, right?
We certainly will, yes, for the DFB Pokal. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, so we will meet Frankfurt at home, but at home. And but now we come to Heidenheim, to the match, or at first I want to speak with you about what happened in Heidenheim, and I will start it a bit different than usual, because when we had our last podcast together, I was after our 3-0 defeat in Heidenheim, I was so impressed by Niklas Dorsch and Robert Glatzel that I, forecasted that both of them will play in the first league next season.
Yeah.
So how it ended, Niklas Dorsch is still in Heidenheim and Robert Glatzel, he was transferred to the second league in England, right?
Yeah, he's at Cardiff now. And I mean, we made a ton of money on that deal. I think the deal was $5.4 million. And man, I mean, we're really feeling the pain of Glatzel being gone. But who can blame a guy for wanting to go and play in the Championship League? I mean, you can't.
Yes, of course. So, and so officially it's like 6 million euros here. So what I read at least, and I mean, 6 million euros is for any or for all clubs in the second. So in the second league of Germany is like a huge amount of money. So you
have
to take it. And you have another guy who's back as the second Robert Glatzel, I would say. So another striker who came back from Freiburg, right?
Yeah, I believe you're talking about Tim Kleindienst.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so he was with us for a while and then left, and now he's back and he's really performing on the field. He has 2 goals this season, and at this point he seems to be Frank Schmidt's preferred striker, and hopefully he'll be able to keep that momentum up.
But it was not only Robert Glatzel who left the club, it was also 2 other guys in the midfield and central midfield who also left the club.
Yeah, so we saw Robert Andrich was really the first to leave, and he went to Union Berlin. You know, again, he wants to play in the first, the top tier of the Bundesliga. Who's going to stop him? But Nikola Davidson, even though I think I told you I was pretty sure he was going to leave FC Heidenheim, at the same time, I was really surprised at where he landed up, because he went to FC Nuremberg, who had faced relegation last season and is currently in the Zweite Bundesliga. So it's a little bit of a puzzle for me why Davidson left. Maybe there was something behind the scenes going on that, you know, we're not privileged to. But yeah, we lost him, and obviously our front end is taking a little bit of a hit. We've lost that cohesion of having those really strong strikers of Davidson and Glatzel up front.
You know, before Robert Glatzel left the club, I was asked who is going to get promoted this season. I was betting on Stuttgart, Hamburg, so not St. Pauli, HSV instead, and Heidenheim. But then with Robert Glatzel moving to Cardiff, I'm now like a bit, I'm not so sure. So, and Bielefeld is quite strong this season, obviously.
Yeah.
So, but Robert Glatzel, Nikola Dovedan and Robert Andrich left the club, and they brought you about 10 million euros, and you haven't spent a lot, but you have, so at least what I read, you haven't spent a lot, but there was not only Tim Kleindienst coming. Who else was coming?
Oh, we have a bunch of new people. We have Stefan Schimmer came in, David Otto came in, Merval Biancotti came in, Jonas Fuhrenbach, Oliver Husing, who we acquired late in the season last year, Diant Ramage, who's a very young goalie out of Stuttgart, who, you know, maybe we'll see something from him 5 years down the road. But these sort of trades are very much in keeping with the sort of thing that we see from FC Heidenheim, which is sort of buy this young second-rate talent and then see if Frank Schmidt can, you know, polish them into gold. And in a case like Robert Glatzel, it absolutely worked. But we've yet to see if any of these trades will really pay off for the team this season.
Okay, and so far in the season, so Tim Kleindienst, he already scored a few times. But who else is playing from the new players in the squad?
From the new players, like we've seen Stefan Schimmer, and he's gotten on the board a couple of times. Otto came in early in the season. Fuhrenbach seems to be a pretty steady substitution. But, you know, in terms of things like Husing, who I think FC Heidenheim was maybe planning to develop into, you know, a captain once Mark Schnatterer leaves, we really haven't seen him on the field much at all. Basically, FC Heidenheim is running the same lineup they usually do, you know, minus Davidson, minus Glatzel, with a couple of the new guys coming in once in a while. And I think Frank Schmidt's really had a lot of difficulty finding a combination that works for the team at this point.
Okay, so if we then move into or go into the season. So
yeah.
Well, how was your start there?
How was our start? Yeah, you know, we started off, we won against Osnabrück and tied Stuttgart, and it looked like, you know, maybe the season wasn't going to be so bad. But then we had a couple of losses and some more ties. And when we win, it's really not a glorious win by any stretch of the imagination. To be honest, the season so far, FC Heidenheim has been kind of boring on the field. We've been lucky to get the goals that we've had. We've been lucky to get the points through pulling a bunch of draws. And I don't think that's a sustainable model for the team for the rest of the season, especially if they want to finish in the top half of the table.
Is it like one of the, what has the team or Frank Schmidt said before the season started? What is the aim of the season?
Your guess is as good as mine. You know, of course, a football team's always going to say we're going to go out and we're going to win and we're going to fight hard. And I mean, whether or not that actually happens, the proof is in the eating of the pudding, right? And, you know, we'll see.
So, okay, you started, you said, okay, it was we won in Osnabrück. You were on top of the league after the first match day.
Yes, and if it stayed that way for the rest of the season, I mean, glory be.
So, and then there was a draw in Stuttgart, right?
Yes, 2-2 at home.
Yeah, and this draw was like showing already one of the, how to say, the main skills of this season, FC Heidenheim. It was, I would call the FC Heidenheim the comeback kids of the league. What do I mean with that?
What are you talking about, how we tend to score late in the game?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. The good news on this front is FC Heidenheim in previous seasons would really kind of fall asleep and get scored on themselves. So, you know, the end of the half, the 43rd minute, we'd fall asleep and someone would score on us. And same at the end of the game. The good news is that FC Heidenheim seems to be staying awake throughout the whole game and, you know, really started putting the heat on at the end when the other team is tired and scoring some goals. The question is, how intentional is this? Is this a case where, you know, Frank Schmidt says, you know, tire them out for 80 minutes and then, you know, go and hit the net as much as possible? Or is this a case of we're getting lucky at the end? And I'm not sure it's the first one. I'm not sure it's that intentional.
Ooh, that sounds not too optimistic here on the other side of the world, to be honest, Sarah, for Heidenheim this season.
I wish I could say differently, Tim. I wish I could come in here and be like, yeah, this is our year. We're going to get promoted.
So, but yes, I would suggest, so if Heidenheim and St. Pauli would mix up the squads, then we will definitely get promoted, because Heidenheim are some kind of the comeback kids of the league. They scored, I think I read, they scored 12 of their 15 goals in the second half, and eight of these goals in the last 15 minutes of each match. And St. Pauli scored, I think, honestly, I'm not sure, 11 of 13 goals in the first half. So a lot more of that in the first half. So if we mix up, we might have a good chance to get promoted.
Yeah, we have an amazing team.
So, but for Sunday, we can't mix up. We have to stand face to face to each other.
Yeah.
And so St. Pauli, just to cheer you up, St. Pauli lost every of his five matches in Heidenheim, against Heidenheim.
That is good news for us.
At least for you. So if we, so my brother is always saying me, if we talk about Heidenheim, he just always shouts, or he's almost yelling at me, I just know Schnatterer. So we need to talk about Marc Schnatterer. So
okay.
how is he? I mean, is he getting old already, or what is happening to him?
I mean, I think he's taking a step back and letting some of the younger talent come up front. In terms of scoring, he has a goal on the season, so not bad, better than a lot of people on our team. But he really is still a high performer for us in terms of getting those assists. So right now he has 10 assists on the season, which is really amazing and really important. But, I mean, he is getting up there. We can't expect him to be around forever.
Yes, of course. How old is he, by the way?
Oh, goodness. I do not know. I feel like
55, something like this. He's
yeah.
The long-lasting, the Highlander of Heidenheim.
Yeah.
Something like this. So I also would expect, if Frank Schmidt retires, then Marc Schnatterer will be the next manager of Heidenheim. This is what I, so I'm good in predicting things in Heidenheim, as you have seen with Glatzel and Niklas Dorsch.
Yeah.
So I would suggest Marc Schnatterer would be the best choice for you. So by the way, so if we talk about Marc Schnatterer, I would also love to talk about your best player. So from my point of view, it's definitely Niklas Dorsch, who
mm-hmm.
is like the playmaker.
Yes. Yeah, I Niklas Dorsch is undeniable out there on the field. FC Heidenheim is so lucky to have him. In terms of scoring, he's scored a goal this season. And like Marc Schnatterer, he's had 10 assists as well. He's been just so important to keeping the energy up and making those plays happen that it's just really wonderful having him on the team.
How is his role on the field? Is he more like a deep playmaker, so playing from the back, or is he more like in front?
Ooh, good question. I think he tends to switch it up. I mean, he's the guy who can take it and make something new happen out of any situation, for sure.
At least I know him, or I would suggest that he's some kind of the, even though he's quite young, I would suggest that he's kind of the aggressive leader of Heidenheim.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Definitely. I know the team is looking to him to really take charge in a lot of situations on the field.
So I definitely don't want to play against Niklas Dorsch. Even not only because he's an aggressive leader, also because of his technical skills. But this is a totally different story. So you said you started quite good with a win in Osnabrück and a draw in Stuttgart. Then you had a series of two losses, I think.
Yeah, in Dresden and Sandhausen.
Mm-hmm. And then you played in Nuremberg again. It was kind of a comeback story. So it was a draw in Nuremberg again.
Yeah.
And then
we won against Kiel at home, and we won against Darmstadt at home.
And out of a sudden, you were again, I think, on place, on rank number four place,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, pretty high up there for a little while. That felt good, for sure.
Okay, what happened then? Then you had Karlsruhe, Bochum, and Wien Wiesbaden.
Yeah, so Karlsruhe, we tied away. At Bochum, we lost at home. And Wiesbaden, again, last week, we drew 0-0 away. I think what's the takeaway here is that there's really no magic formula going on. It's not FC Heidenheim is performing better at home, or that they're performing better on the road, or that, you know, they're winning against easy teams and losing against difficult teams. We've had, like, a real grab bag here of, you know, where they're winning, where they're losing, where they're tying. And, you know, honestly, this could have been a wonderful start to the season, because we were handed some pretty fairly poor teams to play against, and they should have been easy points for FC Heidenheim. But instead, You know, a lot of these teams who aren't powerhouses by any stretch of the imagination, we're drawing them or we're losing them. And it's from a fan perspective, it's quite frustrating.
Okay. And how to say, the next opponents with Sampaoli, yeah, it's quite so. You have won the last five matches at home against Sampaoli, but after this match, you have to go to Aue, which is, I mean, Aue is, they had a really good start in the season. They placed at ranked number 4, and then you have to go, Hannover 96 is coming to you. So, not easy.
No, definitely not. Like I said, we really got lucky there off the top. And, you know, now it's going to be an uphill battle to get those points. Mm-hmm.
And it's, I have seen, so we are really close to each other. So it's just one goal. So Heidenheim shot one more goal than Sampaoli.
Yeah, I mean,
there would be a split or even also of the position. And it's just 3 points of just 2 points to the 15th place.
Yeah.
So, if you have a series of defeats and draws, then you will be down in after 2 matches or 3 matches. So quite interesting situation in the complete second league at the moment.
And I have to agree, as much as I think FC Heidenheim has just been playing okay, when I look at the table, I see everybody, you know, I go, how are they in seventh place? I don't think they deserve seventh place, but it looks like everybody is pretty much having the same sort of ho-hum season at this point.
Yeah, that's right. So for Sampaoli, it was, for us it was a bit different because we had a really bad start, but we also had heavy opponents at the beginning with Bielefeld, mm-hmm. Stuttgart, and was quite heavy start. But then we had a high after we have won the derby against HSV, and then now it's getting critical because last week we lost at home against Darmstadt, and now Darmstadt is playing against St. Pauli as an underdog because we have won a few games. So this is the main reason why it's so close in the second league, because if one team is like going up, if they have a strike of a few games, they've won each other, all the other teams, they are like playing the underdogs, and then it's always hard to play football against those teams. And so that scored after a corner, which is like some kind of our kryptonite corner. And I'm pretty scared that Max Schnatter will shot a really good corner, and then somebody like Tim Kleindienst, he's quite tall, isn't he?
He's pretty good. You have to watch out for Robert Leipertz, though. He's actually our team leader in terms of goals. Yes. So that's really, like, if you want to watch out for somebody, that's who you want to watch out for.
So what was it with Leipertz last season? He haven't played a lot, right?
They started getting him into rotation, much like Tim Kleindienst. He's one of those players. He played for FC Heidenheim, went away, and came back. And, I mean, since, you know, getting back out on the field, he's been absolutely wonderful out there, and he's really been scoring for us.
Okay, so on Sunday, I already told in German that the people should expect 18 degrees and sunny weather, and it's quite good. What would you suggest? What would be the score?
Like you said, I think the teams are fairly evenly matched. And, you know, if we split who's scoring in the front end and who's scoring at the, you know, the last half, we'd have a fantastic team. Given that, I'd say, you know, both teams are really going to want it, especially to differentiate themselves from, you know, the sort of glut of teams with 11, 12 and 13 points. I'm going to go with Heidenheim 3-2. I'm hoping this is the week that they finally get their lineup together and start turning things around on the field. But we'll see. What do you think, Tim?
Yes, if you say 3-2, I would say the other way around, 2-3. So we will break the series. We will have our first win in Heidenheim in the Voigt Arena. So I'm pretty optimistic. So all of us at the Millerton are quite optimistic with these things. So and yeah, I'm pretty sure we will win. Because Heidenheim, how to say, they need to play football. They also want to play football, and we are quite good. We are much better in counter-attacking than last season, and I have a really good feeling for Sunday. So Sarah, so when the match starts at 1:15 in
Oh God.
Heidenheim, so German time, what time is it then for you?
Oh gosh, is that's probably going to be another 7 a.m. game for me. I have to wake up super early on the weekends.
So where do we watch it at home then? Or there aren't any bars on Sunday mornings who are showing second leagues soccer in your case then, on German soccer?
Yeah, so I have to watch it on TV. I have to see if I can find some rogue internet provider showing a Bundesliga 2 game at 7 a.m. on Sunday.
Yeah, good luck with that. So by the way, so if we're talking about soccer, so there I come up with a totally different story, and I'm not sure if you are prepared for this. So there are the playoffs in Major League Soccer, right?
Yes, there
So
are.
you are involved in this?
My husband is a huge Toronto FC fan, so I know what's going on through osmosis, but I am an FC Heidenheim fan. That's where it begins and ends for me.
Okay, and what would you do at home if Heidenheim needs to play against Toronto FC? What happens then?
Well, all hell would break out early. But I'd probably let my husband root for TFC, but I'm FC Heidenheim, ride or die.
Ride or die. Okay, I think this is a really good closure. So, Sarah, we will hear you back on, I think, on Monday. So Tuesday depends on when we publish this, and then we will have another guest, Sebastian. He's also from the Millerton, and he will be in the Voigt Arena in the stadium, and he will tell us something about the stadium atmosphere and how was the travel to Heidenheim. So as I already told you, I did it last year or last season, and so maybe I need a short break from Heidenheim this year, and maybe next year I will do this again. Sarah, it was really a pleasure to talk to you, and I told you I have a good feeling, but now after I said it that I have a good feeling, I'm pretty sure we will lose again. But even though we will lose, I'm really looking forward to talk to you again after the match.
Yeah, looking forward to it too, Tim. Thank you so much for having me on.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. And now I will switch again to German. Don't be scared, Sarah, if you don't understand me now. So, da sind wir dann auch wieder zurück im Deutschen. Ich hoffe, ihr könnt das einigermaßen verstehen, aber Sarah spricht ja so ein sauberes Englisch. Da bin ich immer selber von erstaunt, wie viel ich dann von ihr auch verstehe. Deswegen glaube ich, dass ihr da auch einiges mitbekommen habt. Also, ich wünsche allen Auswärtsfahrern wünsche ich eine gute Fahrt, eine sichere Hin- und auch eine sichere Rückkehr natürlich. Bringt bitte 3 Punkte mit, die können wir sehr gut gebrauchen. Wir haben ja darüber gesprochen, dass es tatsächlich auch nur 2 Punkte sind bis zu Platz 15, bis zu Darmstadt. Deswegen, da ist jeder Punkt Gold wert, aber ich möchte auf jeden Fall gerne 3 Punkte mitnehmen und hoffe, die holt ihr da vor Ort. Und wir hören uns dann zum Nach dem Spielgespräch wieder. Macht's gut, bis dahin, ciao.
Tschüss.